This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Welcome to I Will Watch Anything Once. All right, it's me and Connie.
Hey.
We just watched The Founder starring Michael Keaton. Yeah. This was my pick for one of our little mini episodes because it's a movie that I wanted to see in the movie theaters, but I just missed it. It had like a wide release, but I remember it like trickled out, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember it being in theaters for that long.
Yeah, it felt like there was like buzz. I remember there being buzz about his performance.
Yeah.
But then it just sort of disappeared and got buried by, I think, I mean, now after seeing it, better movies.
Yeah. Like I knew. I mean, I knew the McDonald's story was going to be a riveting one because it's any sort of corporation is going to have like massive scandal. And I read the book Fast Food Nation, so I knew that McDonald's already had like a crazy backstory to it. And I love Michael Keaton, so I was looking forward to his charisma.
Yeah.
But,
totally.
But
and I've read Fast Food Nation as well.
Yeah.
Oh, like I've read the first half because I found that very fascinating.
Oh yeah.
Like the history of fast food.
Oh yeah.
But then I think when it started getting into the heavy science stuff, I think I might have gotten got a little too dry. It was interesting in the labs and stuff, but when it got to modern times, I kind of was like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all shit.
Yeah. So if you aren't familiar with this movie, The Founder, it's the backstory of Ray Kroc, the creator. No, creator.
He did create anything. What do you actually call him? Because he labels himself the founder.
He was the one that made McDonald's a franchise.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he eventually ended up expand. He's the reason that McDonald's expanded so much.
Yeah, and why everything became automated and because like apparently drive-thrus were very different when they first started. Drive-thru was literally just like it was like drive-thru restaurant, like plates and brisket and silverware and with trays that hooked onto your car. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, they must have been bleeding money doing that. Cause I know the restaurant business, like you're lucky if you break even.
Yeah. It's a hard business just to get something started, let alone keep it going.
Yeah. Let alone to build a profit on. So I'm just like, oh yeah, you need to cut costs here. But then it's after a while, it's like, oh, you lose so much quality.
Yeah. And but then it was cool that this is the great thing about the one thing I loved about the movie. It is a good history lesson.
Oh, absolutely.
A great history lesson on McDonald's and just like that, how they did innovate that the drive-in or the fast just restaurant culture by eliminating those things.
And there's good performances in it too
from
other people like Nick Offerman, the guy I always forget his name,
but he's so good.
He was in Fargo. He was the guy that painted ducks.
And he's the Zodiac Killer.
He was kind of the Zodiac Killer in the movie Zodiac.
Yeah.
He's in so much stuff, and he's really
good.
And
his name is John Carroll Lynch.
Yes.
He is wonderful.
He's so good in this. Whatever character he's supposed to play, he nails it, and I'm so jealous.
Yeah, he is wonderful.
Laura Dern's in this.
Laura Dern, underutilized.
Yes.
Laura Dern.
B.J. Novak's in this.
Yeah, B.J. Novak. Everybody's wonderful. I mean, they even use Patrick Wilson in a very small role.
Mm-hmm. I just had a thought because while watching this, Dave sighed and groaned a number of times. Would you like to
really
say why?
I really did. Again, it's a good history lesson. I do think there are some performances that are great. They show them. But I think they're performances that I felt bad for them because I think they had to work with a script that was a little lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, it's a testament to, I think, to their abilities that they're like, I'm like, great. I believe everything you're doing. Right. You're keeping me invested and continue to watch this movie because they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you would have given this to a lesser group of actors, it would have been more robotic
and flat.
Oh yeah. And I was just like, but I felt bad because I was like, I felt like the writing really lacked them being able to like play.
I think in terms of the writing, you could tell a lot of the focus went into Ray Kroc's dialogue.
Yeah.
Because he was literally a salesman, and to have him play a good salesman and a bad salesman, he has to have charisma, but his dialogue has to work.
Yeah.
So it felt like when it came to all the other characters, they're just exposition.
Yeah. And it felt like that script, like, I get this story is about them being affected by Kroc,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like that weakened a lot of the side roles.
Yeah.
You didn't get to see.
Laura Dern's part felt like a stage play.
Oh, it was so bad to me.
The way.
Her wife. She plays the wife.
Yeah. She plays Ray Kroc's. Wife,
second wife, I believe,
long suffering wife, and even the way they shoot the scenes, it feels like you're watching a stage play.
Yeah,
it's kind of bizarre, actually.
I thought it was super bizarre, and it lacked, like, there was a moment when he first meet her, when he mm-hmm. goes home, and he mm-hmm. tells her about the thing, and she's like, she's really blunt at first. She's like, why can't we relax? Like, why can't you just, like,
when are you going to stop chasing your tail?
But then it shifted, mm-hmm. and then she, like, became less vocal.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, no, she became, like, a champion for him, and I'm like, so are we going to explain why this happened, or?
Yeah, why is she now trying to give in? And then when things started to become unclear, she just stopped, not, like, being.
Well, actually, I think I just have an answer. Remember that scene where they're in bed, and he's talking about that couple they just signed?
Yes.
And he's like, they're just like a team, husband and wife, yeah. a team, you know, working together like a team.
Yeah. I hated that scene because it hit us over the head with what they were doing.
Yeah. So I think that was supposed to be the backstory of why she suddenly got on board. But the thing is, they didn't show her react to it. It just kept showing his motivational speech. You have to show her kind of turn, being like, okay, maybe I could help this instead of being wary of it.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that historically their marriage fell apart, but I was like, I felt this was more on him, not her. And it made it look
like, he seemed like a nightmare to be married to.
Oh, for sure.
Whenever he's inside, not even inside, outside, whenever he's not doing business, he is drinking.
Yep.
So I'm just like, oh, she had to put up with an alcoholic husband. Also, being a salesman seems like a goddamn nightmare.
Ugh, especially
traveling salesman. Yeah.
Like, no, I mean, plane travel you wouldn't be doing. You'd be driving across the country
AC,
in the 50s. Ugh.
Calling, using a payphone to check your messages.
Yeah. And if you worked for a salesman, I mean, not worked for it, if you married to a salesman, you wouldn't see them
ever
or talk to them for hours or days.
Days.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that has got to be rough.
Like, whenever he walked into the house, I expected Laura Dern to be like, oh, shit, you're home.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm like, you never see him. And I'm just like, that's awful.
Yeah, and why I was bothered is because, like, she just seemed in the first scene, like, sort of vocal about, like, oh, why can't we slow down? But mm-hmm. then when he's so clearly saying, like, they're a team, I'm like, why didn't you speak up in that moment?
Yeah.
It just felt like a weird shift for that character sort of just to go
mm-hmm.
and then have moments where she's sitting in the dark, you mortgage the house.
Yeah.
And because of that, that's why I felt like there's a couple of moments in this movie that I think could have been more powerful, but because of the way the movie was written,
mm-hmm.
they lacked the power, the hit that I think they wanted. And one was her getting told that he wants a divorce.
Yeah, it's over dinner. It's very quiet. She doesn't say a word. They continue eating their carrots.
Yeah. She just asks for salt for her carrots.
Yeah. Did you also notice they were only eating carrots? Am I insane? Were they?
It looked like they were only eating carrots.
Yeah, if maybe they ate the protein first, but they were just eating sliced carrots. And
maybe they were like, we forgot to get food, and they just grabbed it from Crafty.
Maybe, but when you go to Crafty, they don't slice carrots like. Anyway, yeah. I'm getting caught up in the details, but he's like, you feel for Ray Kroc, like, because his ambition, like, he's struggling, but at the same time, you just see him slowly turn into a monster. And give it to Michael Keaton to make that performance still very watchable.
Yes. And like you said, he's charismatic. You still root for him, even though that, like, there's some very blunt, like, just bad stuff he just says.
Yeah, because he starts, his shittiness carries over to his personal life. But I kind of like how, yeah, like the way he personifies it, like when you see him screw over the McDonald's brothers. Yeah. Also, great performance, I feel like, by the people that played the McDonald's brothers. Nick Offerman's choice to play him kind of robotic, I felt like was such a weirdly great choice.
Yeah, well, it felt like that kind of genius of like the way he ran his restaurant and mm-hmm. seeing it that way. It makes sense. This yeah. guy's sort of like, I just go by the book. I run things efficiently, yeah. even in my daily life.
Yeah. Like he's clearly the more cynical one, the more mm-hmm. stern one. Whereas the other brother, Mac, is much more open, more kind, not as suspicious about people. And like, I thought their back and forth was great. I thought those two had great chemistry.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And I was like, I enjoyed watching them.
Yeah, they were both great.
Like whenever it cut to them, I'm like, oh no, don't screw yeah. them.
And he's also like, that's like, you can see that like because of Mac's sort of like trust in people is mm-hmm. really what like kind of got them in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, like.
But if you go back to their backstory, Mac's trust in people, it also kind of led to then all of a sudden they're successful.
Yeah, that's very true. It's like it's a balance, especially I think in the world of business.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance of where you have to be like, I'll go so far, mm-hmm. but you have to make other people come the distance as well to make business
yeah,
work.
Like you have to have that back and forth. It's, oh, yeah, it's so tough. And, also, another thing we kept talking about during the movie was the way it was shot.
Yeah, like, real quick before we get to the way it's shot, I want to go back to, like, that divorce scene. I think that scene was great, but because I just the lead up to it didn't seem as shocking because he was already so distanced from her.
Yeah.
So when it came, I was like, you're really, like, I was like, the character's shocked. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, if he'd been playing a little bit more like, we're fine, like, not even hinting at yeah. there being a problem, yeah. then that silent, like, I want a divorce would have been shocking or, I don't know.
Well, it's just the way he did it. He said it, like, mid-bite.
Mid-bite. And he was still coming home during, like, even though they were at distance.
Yeah.
He was still coming home and sharing business things and thrilled with her.
Yeah.
Which
but he was talking
on the
phone at night.
I mean, now the afterthought, I get what they were going for, but it just didn't hit as hard as I thought, like, they really, and some of the shots were driving it for, like, even immediately after you heard, they did, like, a shot of just her back, and it slowly, mm-hmm. like, there was a dolly away from her, and yeah. I was like, I don't know enough about this character for this shot to be fucking important.
I guess it's supposed to be like, and now she's getting pushed out of the picture.
Yeah, but again, I get that choice, but I don't think I know.
Remember the scene right before that where you see him falling for the much younger and already married Joan.
Yeah.
And he's talking to her on the phone late at night, and his wife's in bed, but he's somewhere else, cloistered away in a closet. And I'm just like, this is so,
yeah.
It's awful.
Well, he's definitely like, yeah, he's a monster, mm-hmm. really. And then great. So the way that was shot,
mm-hmm.
it just felt a little too, I mean, I guess it is you're presenting McDonald's, which is known as a crisp thing, and it puts on this facade, so maybe this is the choice.
Yeah.
But the way it looked just looked to me like TV. Even the editing felt very TV to me, like a made-for-TV movie. Not that low quality. Like, I don't want to put it like a cheesy made-for-TV movie. It was mm-hmm. It almost felt like it was for British television. It had that look of like Downton Abbey, the way those kind of that TV looks. I don't know what it is.
I'm not familiar with Downton Abbey.
I'm not,
but
familiar
it did.
With,
it, in terms of lighting and stuff, it almost looked like an episode of Fargo.
Yes, that's probably the yeah.
Yeah, the
yeah.
show, not the movie. That yeah. The movie had amazing cinematography.
Yeah, and it's like fine, but it's like it then starts to feel like this doesn't feel like it belongs on the big screen. It belongs on a small screen.
I think I have two thoughts on that. One of them is like I think they thought this is not going to do well in theaters.
Okay,
but I'm sure there's an audience out there who's probably going to stream this. So
yeah,
why not?
They could have
cater
yeah.
to it. And then another thought is that, like, because, like, this is a biopic.
Yes.
And I think when people traditionally think of biopics, they get hyper dramatized, over the top. Mm-hmm. And I think the creators of this were just like, no, we want to focus on the facts. We want to focus on the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we still want to tell a riveting story, but we don't want people to feel like they're getting sucked into something that's been altered a lot.
Yeah, I can see that. But then I think, for me, that's where they sort of went too far with it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with the look of it, there's just some choices that I think are just safe. Where, like, one, it's a lot of just, like, really, like, we're showing you in the shot. Or, like, hitting things on the head too much. Like, that... And it goes down to the script as well. Like, mm-hmm. even him having that conversation of, well, they're a team, I just felt like,
yeah,
you guys are really driving it home, and I already know. Like,
yeah.
And as much as I loved the history lesson from this movie,
yeah.
And like you said, like that BJ Novak scene where his character, this guy in real history, is like explaining how he can take control of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Is fascinating. I find it so fascinating.
Yeah.
But to me, it was like, I was like, this movie's really hitting the facts and showing me the timeline of this thing that really happened in history and making me going, wow, that happened. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt, well, other than the performances, I never felt like this movie was like, we're going to show you how this character functions, like how Croc really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the ending for me didn't work. And I think it had a chance of working, and I'll explain why. So the ending, we're going to spoil it if you haven't seen the movie, so, but it's not really like a twist.
No, I mean, he becomes successful, and you see him rehearsing a speech to Governor Reagan.
Yeah, for Governor Reagan.
So you know what year it is.
Yeah, you know what year it is. You know he's into Reaganomics.
And you see him rehearsing a speech in front of the mirror, all in a crazy rich-looking house.
And I like... So this is one point where I think the writing is doing a good job. I just think what became for it of what didn't allow it to hit as hard as it could be.
Because
he starts to get to the point where he has to talk about the beginning of when McDonald's started.
Yeah.
And you watch him struggle with the lie.
Yeah.
I think that's a great, profound moment.
Uh-huh.
But here's why I don't think it works for me, is that I don't think he... like. All along, I don't think he believed in the lie. Like, and so instead of, like, maybe I'm wrong. You can call me out, Connie. But even the way he dealt with the McDonald's brothers, it was like, a lot of that dialogue was him, like, the whole speech when he's, like, when he takes the phone call
mm-hmm.
with everybody in the room
yeah.
and he's, like, pretty
yeah.
much just like, this is how business is.
Yeah.
It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a ratty world.
Yeah.
I was like, where's the, I don't get this while you're pulling the curtain back to deal with them. It felt like this kind of guy
mm-hmm.
to be a biz, this kind of cutthroat business
yeah.
would be playing, I would assume, would be that guy at the end with the clip. He's like, it's Jen. I love the name. It's this. I feel like that guy would never drop any of that. Even with his business partner, he's like, I'm doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
And then when he gets to the lie where he has to actually do it, it's like, there's a little subtlety of like, oh, he knows the lie and he has to live with it.
For me, I thought that was a slight sense. Like, he's a total shark and a sociopath.
Yeah.
But I think when he had to retell the story, literally to himself, knowing he had to tell a bunch of important people, I think he felt a little bit of guilt.
For sure.
But I think, okay, and then right after that, Joan enters the picture and, like, hugs him, literally enters the picture and hugs him
yeah.
from behind.
He and looks away.
He looks in the mirror with her and, like, he sees, like, how successful he's become. He's stolen the wife of his dreams. He's has an amazing house. He's about to give a speech to Reagan. And then afterwards, he's like, I'm good with this. And then he walks away, leaving the mirror in blurry focus.
Yeah.
So he's it was worth it.
Yeah. And very heavy-handed from the film.
It was a little heavy-handed, but I don't know. I think it kind of worked considering how heavy-handed some of the other scenes were.
I have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because the other scenes were so, like, already hitting us over the head
mm-hmm.
that scene just couldn't – I already lost a little weight.
Yeah.
Because it was like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, but I didn't like. It was like I liked to see the crack in his little like facade of like I'm a salesman and I'm doing what's necessary.
Yeah,
but I felt like we already saw a little bit of crack when he started to get like angry and be like, "Ah, ratty rat, rah rah rah."
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "Man, this guy seems like if he's really a good salesman, he'd never let that on. He would have like Croc would have just been like, everything's great." I'm the beginning of the business.
I think it's because, okay, like he had that conversation on speakerphone in front of his business cronies.
Yes.
So he had to like just like bark being like, this is who I am. But when he's alone in his bedroom being vulnerable, I think that's when he started to crack a little.
Which you mean when he's giving the speech at the very end?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his vulnerability shows when he's like alone
right.
as opposed to in front of all of his business cronies. Because to put that phone call on speaker was a choice.
For sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. I wanted like those. We already. It just was like, yeah, I made me. I don't know. This might be
like,
the worst.
I'm
ruining this podcast right now by
indecisive
and my
I totally get it. Like, I mean, like, I understand every choice they made, but the fact that we kind of saw it coming says something.
Yeah. That's what I think is like, I just already saw that, like, that was there
mm-hmm.
versus, like, ooh, that's where we're going to end.
Yeah. In terms of artistic aesthetic and storytelling choices, there was a lack of boldness.
Yes. Anyway, it's the same director who did you see Saving Mr. Banks?
No.
Same director, and I think I liked that movie
uh-huh.
as much as I like The Founder, where I'm like, this isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's just a little safe.
Yeah.
The lighting was exactly the same. Everything's bright. And I'm not saying you have to have complete contrast. I'm not saying you have to shoot something like it's Breaking Bad or like it's Ozark or anything
uh-huh.
like that. But it's so bright and close, then it just feels like, oh, where, what, okay.
I wonder if...
But it's just that to Hancock's style, I think.
Because there's a... Okay, the way this movie is shot, the scenes that aren't borderline blown out with their brightness are... so dark.
Yes, it's like we have to show that only these moments are dark.
Mm-hmm. Like these are the bright moments in his life and these are the dark moments in his life, which I understand and that's fine or whatever. But after a while, it starts to at one point. Okay, when they're meeting, when he meets Joan for the first time, the way that scene is shot, it's shot like a thriller.
Yeah, in the restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember thinking, I'm like, if I walked into this movie at this point, I'm like, who's gonna get killed?
Yeah, like he's creepy. He's really creeping on her in a sect of like,
yeah,
you could murder her. You're
yeah.
gonna murder her.
Like I think Michael Keaton is a fine looking fella, but when you put him next to that young Joan, played by what's her face?
Linda Cardellini.
Yeah, from Freaks and Geeks. You put them next to each other, and there's a scene where. Oh, that's another issue I had with this movie. Every line of dialogue had so much weight to it.
Yes.
It was a little exhausting and made everyone feel a little stilted. I think that's all the women's dialogue were like, you could tell being like, cut it in half, cut it in half. Like if it
yeah.
doesn't have to be there, don't put it in. And so it all the women's parts feel very play-like. And, okay, so there's a part where she's playing the piano for some reason.
That's what she did. I weirdly, when we were watching the movie, I was looking up a quick article about that, Joan,
uh-huh.
just because I wanted to see her part. She used to do that.
Okay.
That was her job, is to
she was a lounge.
A lounge
piano.
In that in
okay.
restaurant, like a high-end restaurant.
Okay, so she requests Ray's favorite song. She starts playing and singing it. And then he comes over, and I guess the song's a duet now? And he
yeah.
starts playing with her, and he reaches down and plays the piano, and it's just, this is terrible of me. His hand looks so old next to her hand.
I hear you. I think that's why I think what I like Keaton for at this age is that he does look old and he has energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, putting him next to a younger woman like that, you're like, how are you into that skeleton?
Yeah, and like the husband, her husband at the time who was watching it must have been like, that's adorable.
Yeah, like yeah, exactly. That's why it was harmless.
Yeah, not like, oh, he's moving in on my wife. I would have been like, oh, look at that old man playing with that young woman. That's great.
Yeah, not a threat at all.
Yeah, like even like in terms of lighting choices, I'm like, oh, he couldn't like put more makeup on his hand or something.
Yeah,
it looked
funny.
Real paper.
Take that, Michael Keaton.
It looked real papery next to hers. I'm sorry.
No, maybe. I love, though, this is a weird thing. I like Michael Keaton's face, the way he's aged. He has such texture in his face. But I love it. I love it.
I remember he always...
I think age is like an underrated thing that people are like, it's horrifying. I don't want to age. And I'm like...
I think they made him look older this.
What?
I think they made him look older for this.
Do you think so?
Because his hairline...
Yeah, but he has great... His hairline is... I think that's him now. Because have you seen Spider-Man?
Uh-uh.
He has the same damn hairline. He just like has a weird... He like has weird length in the back.
Oh.
Because it's one of the things I liked about his character in that movie is like his Vulture character was like this blue collar dad, but then he's like his hair was clearly like how dads like will sometimes just let their damn hair get long.
Like, because I remember seeing pictures of Ray Kroc and he didn't have that much hair, so I'm like, oh, he must have altered it to look like Ray Kroc, but I guess that's just his real hair.
I think he has not that much hair anymore.
Oh.
At this, I think he has, like me, male pattern baldness.
Oh.
I have, like, a deep hairline.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, we can look up pictures and see.
No, because, okay, this is weird, but I remember at the McDonald's that was near me as a kid, there was a plaque with Ray Kroc's face on it.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, so I know what this guy's face looked like growing up.
And that's weird because I'd never heard of him until this movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, because I remember reading it as a kid being like, what a stupid name, Ray Kroc. And I know his face because it's carved into it like a memorial statue. And wow. It's inside the restaurant.
He probably put it there himself.
Oh, absolutely. But I remember also thinking, yeah, because he has male pattern baldness too. So I thought like they nailed that part of his look. Yeah,
I don't know.
He also looked very sun scorched throughout.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was to reflect that he had to drive so much.
Which that could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, there's many a time where he turns around like, wow, that is a redneck.
Yeah. Definitely. Hey, that's what would happen if you're out and about all the time.
Oh god.
I mean, I walk everywhere. I have a crazy, like, weird tan.
He drove to San Bernardino in the 40s.
From Indianapolis.
Oh.
Just looked at a map and was like, okay, I'll just take that one route.
He drove to Phoenix.
Yeah, just to look at a
store.
Have
you been to Phoenix?
There's nothing to it.
Oh, I went out to Indio once for an improv festival. I thought I was going to die.
Just on the drive? Or in just Phoenix itself? Because I've gone to an improv festival there too.
The drive... And just being there. You can't be outside.
Oh, yeah. It gets too hot.
You just can't. And I'm like, driving there with no AC back then?
Yeah. Oof.
And everyone wore suits back then. And so I'm just like, everything about it is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's a miracle Las Vegas got built.
It's insane that it still exists.
Yeah.
Because of, like, how did it keep growing off of that heat?
Oh, yeah.
But I think they're like, pumping AC in all of those buildings these days.
Oh, absolutely.
They want to keep everybody comfortable to keep them playing those slots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and this is unrelated, but yeah, not just, I don't know the last time you've been to a casino, but they don't just pump the AC. They pump like a scent.
They have like fans that pump out the smoke.
Yeah.
Because you can smoke inside. Yeah. And they pump like, I don't know what the scent is. I've heard of this.
It's some sort of, it almost smells like shampoo.
Weird.
Yeah, to like flood out whatever bad smells are inside.
Oh, there's probably so much grotesque things going on.
Yeah,
the hours people just spend in there.
Yeah,
it's like a lot. It's like a locker room where people like to entertain themselves.
Yeah, people are smoking and drinking and sitting for like almost 2 days at a time.
Oof, I can't do it. I'm not a huge Vegas fan in general.
Me neither. Actually,
the grotesqueness. I don't like people like get excited to go there, and I'm like, nah, I'd rather go somewhere else.
For what?
I don't know. But yeah, overall, I would say for me, this movie was a movie that where I was like, great, you presented me all the facts, but I never really saw the story you were really trying to tell me about this.
Would you recommend it to people?
I'd recommend it to my parents.
Why your parents?
Because I think this movie would be fine for them and they would like it. It would entertain the hell out of my dad. My dad would be like, oh, cool story about, it was fascinating to hear that business and what they did. Do you know what I mean? It would give them, and it would be safe, and it's not bold, so it's safe enough for them to watch. They wouldn't be like, they wouldn't come back.
No scares.
And, yeah. Whereas like, I'm going to equate this to another movie. It's about somebody in this sort of world that I think you could understand. I personally think it has a better story being told.
Yeah.
It's Wolf of Wall Street. Like,
I weirdly saw that with my mom.
That's great. I love it. I mean, I used to, I showed my mom back when she was more open and not also there's memory problems happening, but at her age, it sucks. But she watched Requiem for a Dream with, I had her watch that.
Oh God.
I would show my mom anything, but now it's like, no. And she only watches usually stuff with my dad. My dad's very.
This weirdly does feel like a dad would be like, yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Tell me more.
What happened? Like, my dad would love that. Whereas, like, I want them to take that history and then I want a little more of, I want a little more dramatization.
Yeah.
That's honestly how I feel about it. Like, that's why I like Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I don't need you to tell me the exact facts.
Yeah.
I like the drama. I like the dramatization.
I actually haven't seen the Steve Jobs movie.
I'm a huge fan of it.
Okay.
But that's, I wouldn't want to watch, I wouldn't really
highly
recommend it.
The more that I think about it, I can imagine a ton of dads watching this movie with their kids, turning it off and turning to them being like, so what did we learn?
Yeah, totally. What did we learn?
You gotta, like, I feel like a lot of dads look at this being like, was it worth it? Or being like, see, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You gotta be a shuck like that.
And I don't think it, because of the movie doesn't hit it, like, they hit it, but it's like, you don't walk away going like, don't do that. You're like, well, that's what you gotta do if you're gonna succeed.
Yeah, like, was and it worth things, it?
Yeah. So it's like, well,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I imagine a lot of dads watch that scene because it shows with them. It starts with a collage, not a collage, a montage of him trying to sell these bulky milkshake machines and listening to a record of motivational speaking about perseverance.
Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of dads being like, yes, yes, that was my life.
My dad was a salesman. And
really?
And like that's what he started out in with Quaker Oats. And then he was a salesman for Serta Mattress kept going. He used to drive a bit. But I mean, probably more so when I was not even born, when my brothers. But those things now he sends us tons. I've had books that my dad's given me that are like that about how to succeed in business, and they're all that same kind of language.
That
what he was listening to in a hotel room.
Yeah,
and I thought it was funny that you would haul that those many records around because fucking, I just moved recently and I have a bunch of records. Records suck to move.
Oh, I imagine like they're heavy but fragile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was listening to that in his hotel room while drinking, and I'm like, What's keeping this guy fucking going?
Exactly. All right. Well, what kind of rating system should we use going forward? This is like one of the beginnings of this. I was like, what should we use?
Like out of 5 stars or a 10?
Or something else so it's ours? We don't need to. Everybody has stars or thumbs up now on Netflix. They got rid of their stars.
I think that's so interesting.
That they just went to thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, because people are like people, I think they had trouble discerning like, is 3 good or is that bad?
I didn't like it, and I ended up giving stuff that I was like different ratings based on like that isn't that bad to give it a 3.
Yeah,
but you're like what it would say for like I loved it would be like a 3 or a 4, and I'm like, well, no, I don't think that. Yeah. I don't think a 3 to 4 means I loved it.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people thought like 5 stars meant thumbs up, whereas 5 stars for me, I'm like, this movie changed my life, buy it now.
Yeah.
So
I think a 5-star movie would be one I own for my personal.
Yeah. Like I probably watched it repeatedly.
Yeah.
But
most general movies for me fall in the 3 and the 4.
Yes. I'm the same way. Like very rarely is a movie I'm like, everyone shut up and watch this.
Yeah.
Like it's just, what's the rating system that hasn't
been
used?
Let's go from once. What would be that to use? Cause the podcast is I will watch anything once. So like, our rating is instead of 1, it's a once and then going up. So how many viewings would you give it? Once to 5 viewings. I think I'm giving this a once.
I think this is a harsh system for movies, but I would say a once. Considering, okay, we both had to go to the bathroom and held it, but
we don't have to do 5. Let's just do once, twice, And then there's a, and then, or multiples.
Okay.
So there's a three, we have a three ranking.
I don't think I need to see this again.
Yeah, I know. Mine's a total
I spilled coffee on myself while we were watching, and you're like, do you want to pause it? I'm like, no.
Yeah, you did. You specifically, like, I thought about, I'm very weird and just having to watch things all the way through. But
like, I knew there was a bunch of facts, and I was enjoying the movie, but it wasn't like, oh, I missed a frame of this. Ah, shit.
Yeah, there's, I didn't, you wouldn't, you didn't miss anything. I looked down a couple of times, and I knew I wasn't missing anything.
Like, because, like, I'm like, I can hear it. It's one of those movies, like, if you hear it, you're okay, I think.
Yes.
So,
So, I agree. Okay. We both agree this is a once, but that's our new rating system. Once, yes, twice,
or multiples. Yes.
Because I think you can see a movie. Once is definitely like this where we're like, nah, I saw it once. No, yeah. There's that too, or you might even not even, maybe you didn't enjoy it, but you know that you kind of are intrigued to watch it again.
Or you feel like you missed something.
Yeah, there's definitely reasons to sometimes watch it twice. Mm-hmm. And then there's multiple where you're like, I liked it. I got to see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is a movie, if you're a Michael Keaton fan, absolutely check it out. If you like history, absolutely check it out.
Yes.
And it did make me want a burger.
I probably will. Yeah, I definitely want a burger.
Yeah.
Well, let's end on that. We're going to eventually get burgers.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. And follow the new host, Connie Shin, on Twitter at ThatConnieShin. Also, follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at IWWAO. Stay up to date with everything we're watching, as well as when episodes come out, and possibly more. Also, we'd like to hear from you listeners, because there's going to be more of these episodes with me and Connie. Those are going to come out every first and third week of the month. Episodes that are just me and Connie watching movies that we either missed or avoided. But we'd love to hear from our listeners about the movies you'd like us to watch. So please tweet at us using the hashtag I'll watch anything once, or just tag IWWAO. Tell us the movies you'd want us to watch. Or you can go ahead and email us at iwillwatchanythingonce@gmail.com with any general questions for us about movies. If you want to know what movies that we love or we grew up with, any questions we'll take for the podcast. But more importantly, tell us what movies you'd like us to see, and we'll watch it and we'll discuss it on the podcast. We have that new rating system that we're going to continue to use, which is once, twice, or multiple, meaning once, that is enough. One viewing is enough. We're not going to watch it again. Twice, heck, we'll give it another viewing, maybe a couple more if we like it enough. It might be a movie that we think it deserves a second viewing, just to really take it in more. Or multiple, a movie that we think deserves several views. Maybe somebody shows us a movie that we love. But that's our new ranking system: once, twice, or multiple. Going forward, we're going to rank every movie using that system. So thank you again for listening. Please go on to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. That'll help more listeners come to the podcast. Heck, I'm buying new mics because I'm tired of having crappy audio. No one's complained about it at this point, but I think it can be better. So I got new mics coming. But anyways, join us next time. And remember, if you haven't seen it once, you can't complain. Let's do a test. Testing. Hi, I'm Dave. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, God. Hi, I'm Connie. Woo, woo, woo.
I love that you did that.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.